Welcome to the Superpower Success Podcast. At Keystone, we believe exceptional organizations don't just happen. They are built by focused leaders that recognize their authentic leadership superpowers. Join us for a serious dose of inspiration. Welcome, everybody, to the Superpower Success Podcast. After 7 years of doing this, you would think I would be bored with it. But the problem and the good thing about this is I do this for me. And the bonus is that all of you get to listen in. So what you get to listen in today to is a dear friend of mine, Heather Boschke. And when we joined, we even said, we just sit here and talk for an hour and you guys can just listen in. I mean, that's kind of how it works. But she is an amazing female leader in the Twin Cities Metro, but even globally and nationally. But she's also someone that I look to just for how to be as a human. She's one of the most giving people I've ever met, and she has that reputation. And so I'm excited to learn, Heather, today about your leadership journey, because I think there's a lot I'm going to learn from you. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is going to be fun. And I echo all the kindness you gave me right back to you. So thank you.
Thanks. Well, I want you to just start with telling us your story. I think it's so fascinating to hear people's stories. And even now you've got a couple paths that you're on. And so I just think it's amazing for people to hear that. So start with that. What's your story? What's the journey? How did you get to this level of success?
Yeah. Well, I think I had a very traditional path where I did all the things, went to college, got the job, got promoted. I had 22 years in corporate, which was great. And I also was kind of kicked off the wheel 4 times specifically. And after getting kicked off the wheel, I never really thought about anything else other than dusting myself off. I find another job. It's all good. And in 2021, I got fired, hopefully for the last time. And I just started having conversations with people. And it always ended with, "And could you help us with our marketing?" And before I knew it, this demand was starting to grow. And I thought, I never thought I'd be an entrepreneur. That seems really scary. I don't know how to do any of that. But there's demand. And why not try it and see what happens? And what has happened is 3 years later, I'm absolutely loving it and adding value to companies in a way and leveraging all my experience and time in corporate to help these small businesses who don't know what good looks like to grow and thrive and do marketing in a way that's very simple, because you don't need a big budget and a large team to do marketing well. So that's kind of my value prop. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, with getting kicked off the wheel so many times, I feel like I had twisted myself in a pretzel to be what I thought people wanted me to be and look a certain way and act a certain way. And that wasn't working. And so I think in the last few years, the big unlock has been being myself and showing up as me and sort of I stopped pretending. And so I think for a long time in corporate, you know, we'll talk about leadership, but even when I became a manager and a leader of people, there was a lot of acting I was doing in terms of what did I see good leadership looking like and dressing like and acting like. And I think just for the first time, I'm finally just listening to myself, which has, yes, I've got this other journey with my bird drawings, because once I went out on my own, I found all this energy and creativity that I sort of had been missing and not paying attention to. And when I started to draw, this unlocked this whole other journey of children's books and drawing birds. And I feel like I am lit up in ways that I have never been, because I am listening to myself. I am being true to myself, and I'm letting my values be my North Star in a way that I was using society's measures of success to be my North Stars. Not anymore.
I have got goosebumps from head to toe, and I'm smiling from ear to ear because I remember 2021. It's when you and I first met, when you were just starting, and you were like, "I'm figuring this out. Here's what I think it looks like," which is so entrepreneurial. That's how we all do it. I'm still figuring it out, right?
Amen.
Going like, okay, clients need something a little different than maybe they used to need. And I mean, that's the joy of doing this. And it's also scary. But the beauty of getting kicked off the wheel, like, that's might be the podcast title, because it tells you and pushes you closer to who you are when you have those moments in life. And for some people, it's a job loss. For some people, it's a health issue, right? A death of somebody close to them. It can be a lot of different things that force us to reflect because we aren't good at the reflection day in and day out. And there are a lot of people here right now in transition. I mean, we're talking to them every day. I know you probably are as well. Just talk just a little bit more about the stigma of getting kicked off the wheel. And I think you telling your story gives everybody hope to say when it happens, because it's going to happen to most of us. I became an entrepreneur. I hope it doesn't happen to me anymore because it'd be a different kind of kicked off, like kicked out of my company. But it's going to happen. And how do you lead yourself through that? Like, what advice would you give to somebody that's gone through it or might go through it in the future?
I think one of the reasons it hurts so much is that, okay, as humans, we've got lots of roots of purpose. Like our purpose has many roots, and what we give attention will grow. And for the longest time, the only thing I was giving attention to was the work part. And I think a lot of us do that. In some ways, it's kind of the easy thing, right? Like we show up in our families and we're not necessarily getting promotions or increases or pats on the back. It's an easy place to excel and see and get those gold stars. And so when the work piece of the pie becomes the whole pie, when that goes away, of course, you're going to think, well, how do I add value? Because that was a very clear way. And as humans, that's what we want. We want to add value. We want to be seen and heard and live meaningful lives. And so when that part that was doing those things for us goes away, we get lost. And I think for anyone in transition, I always say it's a gift. It's a gift. Layoff was a gift for me. It's a gift for so many people. And it's a gift of space to step back and consider showing up a little differently. And the reason I think I was kicked off the wheel so many times was because I was not learning the lesson. I kept getting back on the wheel.
And you weren't on the right path.
I
And
wasn't,
it was like, nope, that's not your path either. You did it again, right?
And it doesn't mean that if you lose your job, you should go start your own business. It could, but it's just an opportunity to reflect and say, do I want to show up the same way? Do I want to get back on that same wheel in the same industry, in the same position? And so it is a gift of pause because for so much of us, you mentioned you've got events tonight, we're so busy that we don't build in time to reflect. And that reflection is when we can hear ourselves, hear our truth, and decide to show up in a way that actually serves our lives.
And if I look back on those pivotal moments in my life, it was when I had to get lost to find myself again. I mean, that's really what these transitions do, is they force you to dig deeper than you'll do when you're on autopilot every day.
That you just said it. It takes us out of autopilot. And I think about my time in corporate. I wasn't necessarily unhappy. That autopilot, it was fine, but was it serving me? And I think that we all have these dreams in our hearts, and our job is to, they're not actually for us. Our dreams are for other people. So when I'm living my dream, I can do better for others. And so I just think when we're on autopilot, we're skimming the surface. And that's why society's success measures of money and cars and all of the kind of flashy, superficial things, we stay at the surface level. When you go deep, you've got to go deep to see what's really in there. And that's when you can start living a life of fulfillment and purpose and not just existing, because that only gets you so far. And then life will wake you up, like we said, health scare, job loss, divorce, whatever it is, life will wake you up when you are sleeping through it.
Yes, I love that. And I think it's such an important thing for everybody right now because, like you said, the job loss is a path to go work differently, to prioritize different things in your life. Those are the conversations we're having. It might be I got an accounting degree and went and did accounting, and I've been 10 years and I don't really love it anymore. That doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It just means you've outgrown it, or you've outgrown the company or the culture. You're looking for something different. So use it as an opportunity to put different boundaries in place to say the next time I'm going to be in charge, right? What
That's
boundaries look like.
so good and well said. And kind of using that plant analogy with the roots, we all outgrow the pots that we started in. And so sometimes it means a totally different pot that looks different. It could just be a bigger pot that looks the same, but realizing that if you're alive, you're growing and you're doing different things, and you should consider that maybe the pot is not the pot that's serving you anymore? And how do you make sure that you're growing? Because if you're not growing, you're so, what is it? If you're not growing, you're dying. That's
You
really
are.
true.
And as you get older, it is true, because the stress and the right of just kind of that monotony is not actually helping you become something more. So
yes. And we're going to talk about leadership. And when you're not a happy human, you're not going to be a good leader. I mean, I think about some of my worst bosses. They were not happy humans.
Right. So let's dive into that, because you've, you know, in your corporate career and now even interacting with clients, is there a leadership moment that you feel like are moments that shaped or formed your leadership and how you think about the power and the impact of being a leader?
I want to share a leadership moment in terms of an advice that I received from a mentor. And when I was at Verizon, there was this restructuring of our region. And what happened was my position, it was pretty much a demotion. My title was changing. I would be reporting to someone that used to be my peer. And I was not happy about this change. And I was talking to my mentor, who was a VP at headquarters at the time. And she asked, "Is this a pill that you can swallow?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And she's like, "This happens. This has happened to me. There are pills that I have swallowed and I am fine and I can move on. And there are pills that you can't swallow and you don't want to swallow." And so she asked me, "Is this a pill you can swallow?" And I decided it was a pill that I could not and did not want to swallow. And so about a month later, I put in my 2 weeks and I was starting a new job at Radisson Hotel Group. But that has always stuck with me, this idea that if you're not changing it, you're choosing it. And if you are choosing it, you've got to find a perspective and a way that allows you to show up as your best, because if you don't, you will be resentful and bitter. And that shit's going to pour out on everything else. And so in that situation, I just knew I didn't want to choose that and I had to change it. And so that simple exercise, is this a pill I can swallow? I do it for myself. I say that same thing to other people, because it helps you sort of reframe what is happening as a simple decision of, do you want to change this or are you good with choosing this?
It's so profound, yet simple. And yes. I think that question, and you're right, there are going to be things that you're like, nah, I can swallow it. Like, I'm
yes.
good with this. Like, I can stick it out and see how it goes. And I think there's a lot of people in roles like that. But then those moments of I always say you impact your personal brand more than something else impacts you when you're choosing something you shouldn't be choosing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Choose it or change it. It's so simple. And if you're not going to change it, you got to get okay with it.
So how would you describe yourself as a leader? Like, what are those superpowers that make you a really good leader? Because I think you can be a really good leader with all different personality types, introvert, extrovert.
Yeah.
What makes you, like, what are those superpowers that you've used in leadership?
You know, superpowers are tough because when it's your own, you don't see it. So I do. There's this quote that I love by John Quincy Adams, and it's, "If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, or become more, you are a leader." And to me, that's just everything. And that's how I hope I show up. And so I think if you're living your truth and you're doing your best, and so if I'm being true to myself, I'm honoring my values, I'm showing up exactly as I am, maybe it can help others do the same for themselves, because I think that's really all we want. Like I said, we want to be seen, we want to be heard, we want to be valued for exactly who we are. And I think that the best leaders make people feel that you are okay as you are, and showing up and putting yourself out there and taking risks. I just think, because I've done that in my life in the last few years, and people have said, "Oh my gosh, you've written a children's book. I've always wanted to do that." And it's like, awesome. Let's talk about that, because you can do it too. And so sometimes you don't even realize that your superpower could just be showing up exactly as you are. And then that gives people the confidence to show up exactly as they are. And then we can all start to unlock those dreams that are in our hearts. So I think it's a really simple thing about, because you know, when someone's not being genuine, right? It's like when your actions and your words are misaligned.
Yeah.
So if you're speaking your truth and you're acting in a way that's aligning to that, I do think you will then also create an orbit where the right people and opportunities will find you, because we are not for everyone, right? Some people could look at me and go, I don't want to do that. That looks ridiculous. She's writing children. She's drawing birds. That's weird. And that's okay. Those people are not my people. And you don't have to be for everyone. And I think for so much, especially growing up in corporate, I did feel like I had to be everything to everyone. You know, you're serving your bosses, you're serving your team, your customers, your partners, and everyone wants something different from you. And then you get home and you're so exhausted because you're like, I never even let myself out. She was stuck inside all day.
So true. And I have a question I use in my keynotes, and similar to exactly what you're saying, is who are you inspiring? Yeah. Right? Who's watching what
so
you're
good.
Doing? That could be your kids, your community, your employees at work, someone, another leader on social. I'm actually speaking at a women's event tonight and tomorrow. And it's a question I'm asking them. And I'm asking them at the end to go take action. Go share something on social or with a person that you know that's going to maybe help them think differently. Like, I think it doesn't have to be a speaker on a stage or a consultant you can do this yourself, but that's how we create impact. And I also believe you have to be inspired to inspire others.
100%.
And so if you're not looking for inspiration, it's going to be really hard for you to be that person for anybody else. And inspiration can be hard sometimes, especially as women, because comparison gets in the way.
Yes.
So when I see you winning, right, it's like, oh, I don't feel like I'm doing enough. Gosh, she's killing it. Or right. Our mind goes to what we're not, the gap, instead of right, what we are doing. And instead, that's really something I've been working on for the past few years, because it take over my life in terms of trying to do all the things and be all the things to all the people. When I can just, how about I just clap for you and what you're doing that I have zero skill or ability in, and I can go do my thing.
Yes.
And I think we get caught up as leaders in what other people are doing instead of just owning.
Yeah. I love that. And especially with women, I don't shine if you don't shine. So this idea that there is a sisterhood where when my light shines bright, it actually helps you shine your light even brighter. And I think we get stuck in the comparison and the competition, and that doesn't serve anyone, because anytime we're looking at what someone else is doing, they might be in chapter 32 of their book. Well, I'm in chapter 12. And so why would I compare my chapter 12 to somebody else's chapter? And so we just have to remember our journeys are all unique and beautiful and exactly as they should be. And we can celebrate other people. But the second we start to get into that comparison, we have to remember, like, our yellow brick roads all look different. And that's the point.
Right. And that's what makes it our journey. It's the, because those are the issues and the obstacles you're supposed to be going through that are different than me. I know, you know, personal growth, right, and evolution, as we talked about the pot and kind of growing. How do you find success in your own growth, especially going from, I think it's sometimes easier in corporate because you're like, we go to that conference or that training or that.
Yes.
Being an entrepreneur or just in general in life, some of the other things you're doing, how do you ensure you are constantly growing?
I think one thing that, and this is kind of an interesting way to answer the question because I'm kind of not going to answer it, is I'm trying to lean more into the concept of enough, which is a little counterintuitive to growth, which is something I also very much believe in. But I think that we are so conditioned to want more, more sales, more customers, bigger teams, more money. And more for the sake of more is literally the ethos of a cancer cell, right? Just keeps multiplying. And so settling into what is enough money, what is enough vacations, what is enough customers. And I think this idea of enough is one that can help so many people realize, you know what, I do have enough. And it also makes you think, you know what, happiness and fulfillment may actually be closer than we all think. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean to not have goals or don't be ambitious, but I think sometimes we get wrapped up in playing in an invisible game that has no end. Mm-hmm. And that prevents us from realizing our life of purpose and fulfillment and enoughness is actually a mindset shift that we can all make. And I think that is where I'm trying to focus my growth, is how can I recognize enoughness and celebrate, you know what, I think I'm fulfilled right now. This feels really good. I'm not, because it's always like, you're never as good as your next sale, or you're never as good as your next, and writing books is a whole thing. And you know, you're not, what are you writing now? And now you're on this treadmill of like, oh my God, I just wanted to write a book. And now I feel like I have three, and we're on these treadmills. And so I think How do we pull ourselves back and say, you know what? This feels good. This feels like enough right now. And I'm going to celebrate this and I'm going to sit in this, because that's also not how we're conditioned. We're conditioned to produce and do more. And that's good. And that makes us successful in so many ways and build companies and do great things. But I think what we sacrifice is our own mental state of when our head hits the pillow at night, just feeling good about I did enough. And sometimes my enough is not as much as the day before, but like that for me is the growth is,
That is growth. I absolutely think that's growth because it's allowing you to quiet and calm in this. I call it embrace the plateau. It's like you're in a season of
Love
like,
that.
I've built it and I'm good right now. And 3 months from now, I'll make another decision if I want to, right? We can always choose again. But like I do think there's this pressure, and it's very much Western society as well.
Yeah,
It's traveling
100%.
around the world. Like I have, it's like everyone else doesn't feel the same. Like we have to always do more, and we can never rest on our. We need to rest. I think that's the biggest issue right now, and why we're not showing up as good leaders is no one's resting.
Yeah, I agree with you. 100%. Like, we need to celebrate the siesta. Like, let's celebrate the daily nap and let's celebrate. You're right. It's too much doing and not enough being. And I do think that is part of life's journey is we produce, and then we realize that the real journey is from our heads to our hearts. And that's the hardest one of all.
And we've wasted 30 or 40 years doing and not being anything. And then you're seeing this right now. And then people are trying to be towards the end of their life. And it's
I
like,
know.
that's like a scramble, right? And you have so few years at that point, or it gets taken away from you earlier than you expected. I also think you hit on this without saying it exactly, but I brought this up a couple weeks ago at we did a CEO summit, and it was like, you could hear a pin drop after I said it. And I described that happy, feeling happy is not the same as happiness. Things can make me feel happy. A nice meal, a great vacation, right? Like they get for a moment, a new car, whatever it is, they can make you feel happy, but it's fleeting. Happiness is there, nothing outside of you can actually produce happiness for you. It's inside and it doesn't go away. It isn't tied to things. And these CEOs just looked at me. I just remember standing there and they were like, oh my God. Right? Like I could just see their brains going like, I've spent my life going from one thing to the next, one fix to the next, happy. And you have these ups and downs, right? Of like, I'm happy, but I haven't spent any time going inward.
Oh, that's so good. And yes, you're right. And that's why when you lose the job, that's external, right? Your value doesn't change just because you're not getting paid every other week.
So true, exactly. But if you don't know where that value is and you don't know what really matters to you, then it has a lot of weight.
And that's it right there is what really matters to you. What are your values? Because I think a lot of us, and I'm guilty too, chasing the wrong things, chasing the quick hit, chasing the easy. What are your values? And so for me now, peace, freedom, joy, those are my values and my North Stars. Where if I'm not doing things that make me feel those things, then I'm not doing the right things. And that's my, like, will this bring me peace? So sometimes that's my barometer for, are you going to go to this event? Is it going to bring me peace, freedom, or joy? Then no, I'm not. And so knowing how you're making decisions as it aligns to your values, otherwise you're going to say yes to all the wrong things. You're going to be resentful to yourself. You're also going to deplete your own energy. And again, nobody's showing up as their best when they're not aligned.
But I think the important message throughout everything you've said today is stop blaming outside circumstances and other people. I mean, this is a tough pill to swallow. Talk about is it's you. Like you have to do the work, like the work you've done. So you have to do it yourself. Find a coach, find a mentor, right? Listen to things like this, but someone else is not going to fix this for you. So if you're at this point in life and you're listening right now and you're like, oh, great. They all sound so happy and joyful that they figured it out. It's a hell of a lot of work. It's therapy bills and it's crazy coaching bills. If I told people how many hundreds of thousands of dollars I've spent on coaching in the last 5 years alone, they'd be appalled. But it's because I want to live like that, right? And I'm still working on it. But you can't expect someone else or some other circumstance to do this for you.
Yeah. Yes. There's no flip that gets switched. It's literally life's work. And it's also getting quiet, which we talked about, which is also the hardest thing we want to be doing. We want to be busy. We want to be with other people. Sometimes the hardest thing is being alone with ourselves. But that is how we can start to hear ourselves and what's really true in our hearts. And sometimes the truth in your heart, it looks very different than the life you're living. And that's tough. And then how do you bridge that gap? And those are small steps, and that's a whole nother conversation. But I think that's the aha people need to get to, is the life you're living, is that what is true in your heart?
Right. It's so true about being with yourself, because when a little over a year ago, when I chose to go to Kilimanjaro on my 2-week trip by myself, I wasn't as scared about climbing a mountain as I was being with myself for 2 weeks with a lot of quiet. When you're on the mountain, there's no electronics, there's nothing to distract you. And that was terrifying to me going into it, because I think most of us don't sit in that and really, you know, so that's, again, a whole nother topic, but I totally understand that it's hard. So given everything we've talked about today, right? Somebody who is listening, whether they're in transition or they're not, or they're, you know, connected with them, you know, who they want to be and their values or not, what's one simple thing that you would say, just start here?
I would say,
I know it's so hard. There's probably a list of 10.
I know. And especially as it relates to leadership specifically, I would say it's not about you. And the best leaders, it's not about them. Especially we talk about marketing. Your customer is the hero and you're just the guide. The best leaders are the guides. They're the ones that make you feel like you can do anything. They're not the ones getting the awards on the stages. They're the ones helping you do that. And so I think it's not about you. And sometimes even when you think about what you can share with people, because sometimes the lessons you learn, they're not just for you. And so think about it being serving other people. Sometimes that's a better mind frame for people to want to share and put themselves out there. Mm-hmm. It's not about you. It's actually about how you can help others and be that spark for someone else. And especially when it comes to leadership, it's not about you at all. In fact, being a leader, it's about who you're serving, and you're serving so many people. And so I think if you can just kind of keep that first and foremost, you will enhance your leadership just by, again, it's not about you.
And for it to not be about you and you to be a truly servant leader, you have to know how to lead yourself and do some of the other work we talked about, right?
Yes.
To truly be a healthy leader, you have to invest in yourself, because it's the only way you detach from the ego, right? That makes it about status and hierarchy and all of those things.
Yeah, you're so right. Like I said, the worst bosses I've had were so unhappy, and their unhappiness poured out on everyone else and made them miserable. So yeah, for you to show up in your life in any role, leader, mom, wife, friend, you have to get yourself right. And so it's like all roads lead back to you. Mm-hmm. And so how are you doing the work? And it doesn't have to be, I mean, therapy is great. And if you're like, I'm not ready for that, awesome. Maybe it's 5 minutes with your thoughts, and maybe you write a few things down, and maybe you start to get clear on, what are my values? A lot of people, if you ask them what their values, they don't know. And that's where the work starts, is, okay, what are your North Stars?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. This whole conversation, like, I have copious notes that just, even, you know, I know all of this stuff, you know, but hearing it again,
okay,
you're like, oh, I'm a little off center, right? For that, I need to get back to center. I think that's just part of the journey. So before we wrap today, I want to get into a few bonus questions.
Okay.
For people to just kind of get a better sense for you. I think these are fun. So what makes you really belly laugh? Like laugh, like your stomach hurts, like this season, what makes you laugh?
Okay. So we just got a new puppy who's 4 months old, and we lost our best boy of 16 and a half years last year. So we've had this loss, and we don't have human children. So like, my husband and I are like, what are we going to do? What are we going to talk about? Cause all we do is like text about what the dog is doing. And so having this little puppy who's just the cutest little thing. I mean, he has no bones, so he's just like flopping all over the place. And there's something about animals that just bring you into the moment. Like if he's whining at the door to go out, I've got to go let him out unless I want to clean up an accident. So between keeping me in the moment and just making me laugh with his ridiculous puppiness, that's what's making me belly laugh right now.
I just last night sent a, I'll have to send it to you, an Instagram just picture of this puppy that just said, "I think we need an emergency puppy at the office just in case someone's having a bad day." And it's a picture. I'm
Yes.
like, it really
Yes,
is.
you need that.
Yeah, right. I'm like, I don't have to clean up after it, but yes, we do need that. To lead well, you need to be well, right? We've talked about that. And so what's one thing you do consistently to be your own chief energy officer, your own CEO, kind of your own body and life? What's something you do?
I protect my mornings. I protect my mornings fiercely. So that looks like I don't have any meetings until probably after 10. I could do after 9 because I get up earlier, but my mornings are sacred. And so when there's events that are across town at 8 a.m., I'm probably not going to be there because I like to wake up slow. I like to do some yoga in the morning. I have my coffee. And I just like to ease into the day. And for me, there's something about, because I get up at like 5, there's something about being up while the sun hasn't risen and then it rises. That's like a magical time for me. It just centers me and brings me so much peace. So I protect my mornings fiercely, and then that sets me up for the rest of the day.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And I'm going to ask you, I have a bunch of different questions, but I actually want to know this one from you. So I'm going to ask you. So if you have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Oh,
A quote, a mantra, a like
I
saying.
think, and this is so this is something that I have. So I do these author visits, and one of the things that we talk about in the K through second grade group, I've got a slide with my birds, and they all have a little thought bubble, and it says, "I'm great at being me." And so I think it would say, "Be great at being you." Because again, it keeps us centered. It's about being the best you can be. Quit looking around. You're perfect at being you. And sort of, there's no wrong way of being a bird. There's no wrong way of being you. So be great at being you.
Boom. Like that is a great way to, I knew you wouldn't disappoint me on the billboard one. Great way to end it. Thank you for, first off, it is 9 a.m. when we're recording. So thank you for taking your mornings with
Course,
me.
no.
But I appreciate you so much. And I hope you know this. I respect you even today. Everything you've shared, you're just a joy. You
This
really
was
are.
great.
You're a light for a lot of people, and I appreciate you being here and sharing so vulnerably and openly.
Thank you so much. And thank you for creating the space and also being vulnerable, because you being vulnerable creates the space for other people to reciprocate. And I can feel that from you just instantly. So thank you for creating a space where beautiful conversations like this can happen.
That's our whole goal. And to the listeners, thank you for continuing to engage in almost 7 years of
I
this.
mean, congratulations, by the way. Congratulations on 7 years. That's amazing.
It's like I feel like it's like a kid that I've been like kind of grooming. But we want you said this, creating the space, creating a community, creating a container to have these conversations is the whole point of this podcast. So one podcast might hit you right between the eyes, one might just move you a little bit. That's fine. But there's something you needed to hear if you're listening to this. And the greatest gift you can give me and our guests is to share this with somebody that you think needs to hear this story, right? That needs to hear this message today because of where they're at, because that is how we create impact, is to share these resources, to share these messages to help us all get better. So thanks to the community that continues to engage in this podcast. And until next time, thanks everyone. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure and hit that subscribe button so you get the latest episodes as soon as we release them. And remember to keep maximizing your unique leadership superpowers. It truly is the key to building success, both in your career and in life.